The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's November the 7th, 2005. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons here in Champaign County. In agricultural news for the day, Congress will try to hammer out details of whose agricultural spending cut should stay and which one should go by Thursday of this week. The House and the Senate are a few hundred million dollars apart. And USDA says it knows what impact the Bush administration's WTO proposal would have on American agriculture, but the government agency won't release any details. We'll have what few details we do have on that story and others later this half hour. We'll also take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with the folks at the Chicago office of Chesapeake Energy. In between, ag policy expert from the University of Illinois and former dean of the Purdue College of Agriculture will try to spell out for us just what the Bush administration's WTO proposal would and would not mean for American farmers. Stay with us for this Monday edition of your Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agricultural Director Dave Dickey. We start out the week with a pair of free AM 580 Agricultural Outlook panels. Tonight, we'll be at the Radisson Hotel at 10 Brickyard Drive in Bloomington, Illinois. Panelists for tonight's meeting include Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities, Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing, Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing, and Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities. The meeting gets underway at 7 o'clock. And then tomorrow night, November 8th, we'll be at Bernardi's 2 in Pontiac. Panelists for that meeting include Eric Scheller of Risk Management Commodities, Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing, Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing, and Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities. That meeting also gets underway at 7. So this evening, a free AM 580 Agricultural Outlook panel at the Radisson Hotel, 10 Brickyard Drive in Bloomington, and then tomorrow night at 7 at Bernardi's 2 in Pontiac at 7 o'clock. And we hope to see you there.
Checking now the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade as they finished on this Monday afternoon. Futures in the wheat pit down a penny and a quarter today at 310 for a final price. The March futures in the wheat pit at 325 and three quarters were down one and a half, that penny and a quarter in the 310 at the December contract. December corn futures, a new contract low for the day at $1.94 and three quarters. They were off three quarters of a cent. The March futures 209 and a half, down a quarter. And the May contract at 217 and a half were off a quarter for the day. December corn futures for next year up a quarter of a cent at 245. November soybeans 571 and a half. They were off 9 cents. January futures down 9 at 583. And the March contract at 591 and a half, down 9 cents for the day. November soybeans next year down 5.5 cents at 611 and one half. Bean meal futures December contract 174.10. They were down 210 for the day. December bean oil at 22.67, down 27. Mercantile exchange numbers: live cattle December contract up 32.5 cents at 91.80, and December lean hogs at 63.75. They were $1.47.5 higher for the day. And the feeder cattle finished the December contract like this at 114.77.5, and the January contract at 114.77.5. It was up 12.5 cents for the day.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Glad you could be with us.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Todd.
Let's talk about these new contract lows in the corn pit. This is a little different than the contract lows that have been made in several successive sessions over the last couple of weeks, mostly because it finally traded below that $1.95 level that was the expiration for the September contract. What do you make of the weakness for the day?
Well, it's definitely a quarter cent here and a quarter cent there, slow, gradual grind. Next objective would be the $1.91 area. That was the September futures low. Plus, you go back to the diesel for corn contract, you see significant support from there on its low, too, over a year ago. So $1.91 is the next level. The market continues to sort of fear that we'll see a bigger production, bigger carryout estimates. There's no question the carryout's going to be big, but how big, I guess we'll know at 7:30 Thursday morning.
It seems to be that it's been an awfully cautious move lower by the bears, that they've taken a quarter here, a half there, but they're not really ready to overstep. Is that because they're not sure whether this next production report will show a bigger number and that there might be some ideas USDA actually pegged it the last time around?
Well, it could be from a fundamental point of view. Technically, though, when we do grind lower like this, it's not a big enough move to generate additional sell signals. What some of the funds do, they use parameters, Bollinger bands, and so forth, and when it starts adding to their position, you need a bigger swing. So when we get this low volatility, they continue to add lightly versus big. But no, for the fundamental side of the equation, I want to see if we go over 2.3 billion bushel carryout or not. We've got two types of markets, as you've been aware of and as have passed on to everyone. We've got the futures market and the cash market, and I think we're going to see the futures remain somewhat dull in through here, whereas the cash corn market itself has been bumping off its seasonal fall lows.
And what did that market do today?
Well, basically, we've been watching the basis here, and it's been hanging in there, slowly improving a quarter cent here and a penny here. Probably the biggest move, I was kind of listening to John Bonner on Commodity Week Saturday morning there, and man, he talked about 60 under down there at Memphis on the corn, then this recently has been as much as 50 over. I mean, you talk about a wild swing in the cash market. That is unbelievable. We've seen some improvement here. You look at Central Illinois cash, it seems to find support here at $1.70, a couple off the low there. When you look at Illinois river bids for beans, we've rallied a buck off the lows of what they were looking here just a couple weeks ago. So continue to believe most of the action is going to be in the cash versus the board.
Yeah, John Bondurant was, I like having John on Commodity Week, but man, sometimes he has some wild tales to tell, and a lot of times it's just his tale, but when he threw that fact out there that I think it's a Cargill plant that maybe was involved in that, where they moved that quickly from 50 under to 60 over in, 6 or 7 weeks. It spotlights the transportation problems that Katrina really did wreak on the Midwest and the upper mid and in the entire Mississippi River system. And he's talking about locally. John Bondurant is there in Memphis, Tennessee, so it would be a local plant of some sort. And it really means, I suppose, that farmers need to watch more than just the board. I know they do that on a regular basis, but they've got to really start tracking their cash basis, because what they hear on the air sometimes about the futures market may not really reflect what's happening locally for them.
Yeah, correct. I mean, I think that's the place, have some orders sitting in place in case we do get a whipsaw type of market like John experienced down there. And that could happen, some other areas, too, as they try to figure out the logistics. But you got John, he said $4 corn. You got Sue talking $8 beans. It just don't get any better than that.
Well, John's still talking about $4 soybeans, too. So if you haven't heard that program, it's up on our website, and you can sign up, or you can go get it off the website. And if you send me an email at ag@will.uiuc.edu, I'll just send the link directly to you, or a way that you might be able to even just download it into iTunes. if you know what that is, and you can listen to it as a podcast. It was a heck of a program. Go back and pick that one up. The other thing that Mr. Bondurant talked about that on that day was acreage as he looked forward. Did you listen long enough, Kurt, to hear the 5 million acre discussion where he thought we could lose as many as 5 million acres of corn? You must have if you heard the $4 mark.
Well, that's a little rich. I think there is going to be a significant drop in corn acres, and I think it's going to at the expense of wheat, especially guys in the south. They're going to come in with double crop beans. Then plus, too, there's going to be some areas with more beans. And his main concern was the 10 million irrigated acres out west, the cost of irrigation. I believe he was talking about $200 an acre just to pump water. And that could be a concern there. But what is more important, this was stated at our other Outlook meeting we had here last week down at Mattoon Public Library. You can put any type of acreage number you want in the supply-demand balance sheet, but what's going to move the bottom line more than anything else is yield.
Indeed. And we'll come back around to that again yet this Thursday morning, won't we?
Yeah, we'll see what the old crop estimates are. You know, I still like the word illusion out there on the corn. You know, I think there's misconception about the big piles and big production. We still, when you push the pencil on it, a lot of corn was not moved or grain not moved. Talking to elevator managers, record amounts held over that pushed a lot of corn outside. So it'd be interesting to see what the USDA does that. But, you know, final numbers won't be known for some time. The other wild card is the feed usage category. If you go back to supply-demand balance sheets that we've been passing out at the Outlook meetings for years, you can study those. You'll find out big crop years, you got big feed usage, and small crop years, you got small crop feed usage in. And I think the USDA is a little low on feed usage. If they're going to put more production out there, they got to raise feed usage from the point it is a miscellaneous category. And secondly, true feed usage is going to be higher this year with the lower grain prices. We're going to start to see heavier animals come to the market here this winter.
And one final note, you and Mike Zuzlow, Bill Mayer, Clayton Pope will be at the Radisson tonight there at 7 o'clock in Bloomington. I think Dave gave an address of 10 Brickyard, which is probably correct, but for those who don't know where that is, it's Veterans Parkway. Is that right?
Yeah, you go on Veterans Parkway, it's right there at Fridays, TJ Fridays. You see that from the Beltline there. There's a stoplight there. You just pull in there and sort of turn around the back. And, man, it's so much fun being on a panel with those guys. We try to give some useful information, plus I have a little fun at it, too.
You bet. Have a good one tonight, and you guys have fun.
Very good.
Thanks much, Kurt. Kurt Kimmel is with Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Monday afternoons.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois. Deferred pricing contracts available this fall. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for this evening from Mike Sola. He says, partly to mostly cloudy skies, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms developing. Lows will range this evening from 47 in northeastern Indiana to 57 in southern Illinois. Tomorrow in the north and central sections, mostly cloudy, scattered showers, some thunderstorms in the south, partly to mostly sunny and warm. Highs ranging from 66 in the north tomorrow to near 80 in the far south. And the extended forecast Wednesday in northern and central Illinois, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms during the morning, then partly to mostly sunny, windy, and cooler. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and a few thunderstorms. Thursday in the north, a mix of clouds and some sunshine. Elsewhere, it'll be mostly sunny.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Now today's agricultural news. The House of Representatives this week will face a test regarding its budget-cutting package that includes $3.7 billion in farm program reductions. That versus the $3 billion in the Senate-passed measure. Republican leaders tentatively plan for a Thursday vote on the $53.9 billion deficit reduction package, but could delay the tally if they cannot find the votes. A USDA has completed an analysis of the effect of the U.S. Doha Round proposal, but will not release it. The analysis shows the implications of the Bush administration's proposals regarding proposed cuts in farm program subsidies and assumptions regarding market access proposals. Sources note that USDA did not release impacts of the DR-CAFTA agreement prior to its vote in Congress. USDA Secretary Mike Johanns hosted his 22nd Farm Bill Forum in Springfield, Missouri last Friday, and it was the last forum he will lead. USDA sources say that a summary and analysis of the comments received during the forums will be released in December or early next year. Congressional hearings on the forum comments will likely take place early in 2006. The Ford Motor Company said Friday it is teaming up with a South Dakota energy company to increase the number of ethanol fuel stations in the United States next year. The plan is to convert existing fuel pumps to E85, an alternative fuel made from a blend of 85% ethanol and 15% gasoline. A Ford spokesperson said Ford plans to convert up to 100 fuel stations in the Midwest to E85. Negotiators from Brazil's agriculture ministry will begin talks next week in an effort to resume trade with countries that have banned Brazilian beef imports because of foot and mouth disease. In Mato Grosso do Sul, so far 49 countries have banned imports of Brazilian beef due to the outbreak. Mexican President Vicente Fox said Friday that a majority of the nations in the Western Hemisphere will consider moving forward with negotiations to create a free trade zone without the participation of dissenting countries like Venezuela. Speaking to reporters at the Fourth Summit of the Americas, Fox said 29 of the 34 countries participating in the event support such a move. Aside from Venezuela, the dissenting countries include Argentina, Brazil, Paraguay, and Uruguay. And finally today, the World Health Organization has confirmed it will probe a possible human case of bird flu in China, where 6 million birds were culled in an area hit by the country's fourth outbreak of the virus in a month. China has yet to report any human cases of bird flu, but said on Sunday it would invite WHO experts to investigate three suspicious cases of pneumonia in the southern province of Hunan, the site of one of the recent outbreaks among birds. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
The offer was made on a Sunday a few weeks ago by U.S. Trade Representative Rob Portman. The upfront portion that scares farmers most is the offer of a so-called down payment, lowering the U.S. amber box by 20%. The amber box, in world trade parlance, contains agricultural subsidies that distort the price of commodities or induces greater production. The most recognizable amber box payment U.S. farmers deal with is called the LDP, or loan deficiency payment. In reality, University of Illinois policy specialist Bob Thompson says the offer to cut payments by 20% in year one would have no impact on U.S. agricultural subsidies.
You know, one thing that gets a lot of farmers' attention is the so-called offer of a down payment of reducing amber box by 20% in the first year of implementation of the next trade agreement. But the 20% reduction doesn't affect or would not affect the actual payments to U.S. farmers or European farmers at all, because we both are more than 20% below our respective agreed-to caps.
U.S. amber box payments are capped at $17.1 billion. The initial proposal the United States put on the table in Geneva would cut subsidies by 60% over 5 years, then take a five-year breather before totally phasing out agricultural subsidies over the next five-year period or by the year 2023. Given that, it doesn't mean payments to farmers in the United States or any other country in the world would go away.
Yeah, that's exactly the idea, because what we're most concerned about in these trade negotiations is really the distortions in international markets that cause less efficient producers to overproduce commodities in which other countries are more efficient producers. And so it's those really high subsidies connected to the production of a handful of products in most countries that does the most damage to in terms of distorting the world market. So the message is not cut total support to farmers. It's to change the mechanism by which we do it so that we don't induce overproduction of the wrong commodities in places that are just where they just aren't very efficient producers.
So while the amber box subsidies would go away, other payments might take their place. This could include, but certainly are not limited to, green payments for conservation programs, direct payments, and insurance programs, to name just a few. Successful World Trade Organization negotiations on agriculture are said to be crucial if the ministerial meeting to be held in Hong Kong this December is to make any progress. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: AgriGold Hybrids, Mahomet; Bates Commodities Incorporated, Normal; and Colonial Pantry, Champaign. These business partners join the friends of WILL in making great programs possible. Thank you.
Just a reminder of the programs that are coming up outside of our regular scheduled radio programs on the air each and every day here at WILL AM 580. Dave Dickey and company will be at the Radisson Hotel tonight in Bloomington with Mike Zuzulo, Kurt Kimmel, Bill Mayer, Clayton Pope, all on an AgriGold-sponsored program outlook, taking a look at what the numbers might be on Thursday morning from USDA. That happens tonight at 7 o'clock at the Radisson Hotel in Bloomington. Mike Zuzulo, Kurt Kimmel, Bill Mayer, and Clayton Pope will be along for that. And then tomorrow evening at Bernardi's 2, that's formerly Allen's Pub and Grub in Pontiac, Illinois, Eric Schuller, Kurt Kimmel, Bill Mayer, and Clayton Pope will be there. That for another one of WILL's AM 580 Outlook panels. There are several that are coming up. Visit our website at WILL.UIUC.edu. Just click on AM and then Agriculture. Hopefully there's one in your neighborhood. If not, give us a call at 217-333-0850, and we'll see what we can do about scheduling a WILL Outlook panel in your area. Joining us now, speaking of outlooks, to take a look at the cash grain market is Wyatt Muse of the Andersons here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Wyatt.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Are you slowing down there finally at the Andersons a bit for intake?
Yes. Over the past week or so, the Illinois traffic has just about stopped completely. We're still drawing in a few bushels from over in Indiana and a little bit to the east here in Vermilion County.
And I knew that you had been had a, while it looked here in Champaign County that everything had been done, that you had been drawing in those bushels from the border areas, especially to the east of us. You tell me that they're wrapping up pretty much. Did they have a final harvest that was pretty good in terms of yield numbers, do you know?
Yeah, onto the east of us, I think that they were very happy with their yields. They got a little bit of the rains this summer that kind of seemed to pass over Champaign County. And a lot of the river bottom territory, the Vermilion River, Wabash River, that is farmed but not normally has a crop, is coming out very well this year.
Have your bases been strong over the last week?
Yeah, they've been coming back. The 1st of November, we went to 18 under the December on our corn and 25 under the January on our beans. And I think those are going to be holding on until some more trains get through here and things starting to tighten up a little bit.
The Andersons have expectations for Thursday morning's crop production report for a change in anything in terms of the numbers?
I think that the soybeans will come out with a little bit bigger numbers than what they had originally predicted, and corn possibly a little bit better, but I don't know that it'll have a huge effect on the prices just because a lot of the private numbers have come out and some of the trades already estimated where things are going to be and adjusted prices accordingly.
Are you capable of getting trains to move? And I think it went to 3.2 million on the ground there at the Andersons. I don't know whether it got any bigger than that. You get trains that are able to move that out, and how long do you expect it to be on the ground?
Well, trains are moving fairly slow, but we have enough sold before the end of the year to take care of all of our ground piles. We've picked up about 500,000 bushels over the last week and are continuing to pick up grain as we're able to get trains coming through here. And I would expect that it should all be picked up before the end of December, but it is a slow-moving process, as you can probably tell.
Wyatt, what are your bids for the day?
Our cash corn is $1.77. January corn is $1.97. Our cash soybeans are $5.58. January beans are $5.72.
Thanks much, Wyatt.
Yep, bye.
Wyatt Muse is with the Andersons here in Champaign County. Somebody from that office joins us every Monday afternoon. In about 2 minutes, I'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake office of Chesapeake Energy about the agricultural weather. Your local newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels has declared a state of emergency for the Evansville area. He's asking the federal government for disaster assistance following the tornado that killed at least 22 people yesterday. Daniels visited damaged areas of Vanderburgh and Warwick counties yesterday afternoon. He'll return to the affected areas tomorrow. Illinois State Treasurer Judy Bartopinka says she's ready for a brutal campaign to win the Republican nomination and try to oust Democratic Governor Rob Blagojevich. And Topinka says she'll circulate petitions to run for governor and has lined up pledges of financial support from Republican leaders. But she stopped short of explicitly announcing that she's running. Topinka told reporters today she expects to announce something official in the near future. The groundwork is being laid for a legislative battle next year, with ComEd and Ameren on one side and consumer advocates on the other. The two utilities are asking the state of Illinois to let an 8-year-old electricity rate freeze run out at the end of next year. They want state regulators to let them purchase wholesale electricity through so-called reverse auctions. Consumer groups and unions oppose the plan. And State Representative Naomi Jacobson of Urbana says there's a chance she'll approve a move to extend the rate freeze. Illinois' health emergency and agricultural officials are reworking the state's response plan for dealing with a possible outbreak of bird flu. The Illinois Department of Public Health began updating their plans for dealing with flu pandemics last Wednesday, one day after President Bush proposed the nation spend more than $7 billion on bird flu preparations. Health Department spokesman Tom Green says the cost of Illinois' efforts remains unclear. Indiana state officials are planning to announce an $8 million purchase of two wetland properties in the western part of the state tomorrow. The 8,000-acre Goose Pond and Bee Hunter Marsh are located in Greene County, about 30 miles south of Terre Haute. Nature conservationists say the land will be a prime stop for migratory wildlife. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to The Information Advantage. This is WILL Urbana. It's a broadcasting service of the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. We're joined down by Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for today, tomorrow, and at least several days out. Hi, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I have faith that you can forecast at least a few days out, can't you?
Well, certainly I wouldn't have a job here if I didn't have the accuracy for forecasting not only 2 days out, but further out beyond that, especially in our industry, whether it's agriculture or even energy. Our actually main focus is going out 7 to as much as 14, 15 days.
And if you could take a look, I assume there's some cold weather eventually for the Midwest. When's it coming?
Well, you're right about that, Todd. Looking in the calendar, of course, we're heading towards Christmas, so you got to have some cold weather at some point here. And at least for any kind of really prolonged or sustained cold, we don't see anything here, at least for the next 10 to 12 days as we remain in this relatively mild pattern here. And just simply there's no significant cold weather coming in. You know, a couple cold fronts will work through, you know, cool temperatures back down to more normal levels after these unseasonably warm levels, such as over the next couple days, and you kind of cool back to normal Wednesday, Thursday, and then rise right back up to above normal levels. That's really the pattern here over the next 10, 12 days.
It has been a very strange year with tsunamis and hurricanes and droughts, and over the weekend some severe tornadoes. Any ideas about weather conditions that might turn rough over the next couple of days here in the local area?
Well, we do have to watch that frontal boundary here coming through the middle of this week, as well as another system coming through early next week. More so the one about a week from now, we have to watch that just because your upper level conditions will be bit more prime for more thunderstorm development, at least compared to the one here coming up midweek. And so, you know, certainly the severe weather that we've seen here lately, there's a possibility here of it, at least the threat of it, continuing here over the next week's time frame. But you know what? With this type of pattern, with the warmth, that's at least ultimately one of the kind of downsides thing. Downside impacts here with this unseasonably warm weather.
I understand that the warm weather would have a good impact on the availability of energy. You look at natural gas in general, but does it help out in the transportation at all of that particular commodity?
Well, certainly here from a like a natural gas standpoint, the warmer you are, at least at this time of year, the less you're heating your home. And so the way that we stand right now here, we're pretty much wrapping up our injection season and going into the withdrawal season of natural gases as we get into winter and colder temperatures. Certainly where cold weather flows down into the various areas of the U.S., that's going to impact the transportation of it in the pipeline system. So, for example, the Northeastern's really cold, but here in the Midwest, we're on the warm side. A lot of the natural gas is just going to strictly flow into that Northeastern area, and at least our supplies here in the Midwest will not be affected as much.
I know that was a bit of a strange question. I guess what I was really looking at was I understood that we wouldn't be using as much natural gas here in the Midwest because of the warm weather, but whether there was actually any impact that the weather had directly on injection or retrieval, and apparently that's not the case.
Oh, well, the weather really is the key driver, especially at this time of year for injections and withdrawals. And now that we're getting into the withdrawal season due to colder temperatures and people, you know, heating their homes more with the cooler temperatures, that has a significant impact. So, yes, that is the case.
All right. Thanks much, Mark.
Okay. My pleasure, Todd.
Yep. Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us this afternoon from that office, as they do every Monday afternoon. And that is today's Closing Mark Report. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. You have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.